right, good. Thank you, Ben, for that. That's good. Over in Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3, I'll reread it for reiteration's sake, where the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I want to speak tonight on navigating through failures. Now, we've already talked about navigating through social networking, through social media, through loneliness, through anger management, through critics, through passive parenting, through tailbearing, and through helping your child to be able to reach their heart through discipline. You know, as Abraham Lincoln said this, he who never makes a mistake never makes anything. So you're going to make mistakes. You are going to have trials that you do not pass and come short of passing. Another person said this, a turtle never goes anywhere unless it risks sticking out its neck while it's trying to get there. Someone else said this about John Knox, that was Mary, Queen of Scotland. She said, I fear John Knox's prayer more than I fear an army of 10,000. It was said about Einstein of many years ago, and of course, in his century, was the smartest man known. It said that he didn't speak until he was 4 years of age, yet there was a day when he did. You think about Isaac Newton. He was the scientist that discovered gravity. They said that in grade school that he was a very poor student. And by one of the teachers said, unpromising future did he have. It was said of Beethoven, and by the way, one of the greatest musicians and musical composers that ever lived, he was told by one of his teachers one day that as a composer, you're hopeless. Thomas Edison had it said about him as he was growing up that he wasn't such a good thinker. Matter of fact, one of those that was over him in the educational department said this, you need to find a job, something that you won't need much smarts. When Edison began inventing and, of course, trying to experiment, he had one failure after another failure, and people began to laugh at him, and people began to make fun of him, but his dear mother always stood beside him, believed in him, and encouraged him. Edison kept trying and kept eventually just pushing forward, and by the way, had great success with the many inventions and probably the greatest inventor in all of American history. It was F.W. Woolworth. He got a job, and by the way, you know the Woolworth stores of many years ago. But he got a job as a dry goods store at the age of 21. The employer looked at him one day and said this, I want you to stay away from the customers because after all, you don't do good at closing sales. Later on, he became one of the first ones to purchase and start one of the biggest chains of department stores. It was Michael Jordan that was cut from a high school basketball team because he was an unfit player. It was Walt Disney that once was fired by his newspaper editor because they said that Mr. Walt Disney lacked imagination and had no good ideas. It was Winston Churchill that had to repeat the sixth grade because he did not pass the test whereby he would be promoted. Later on, he became Prime Minister of England, and probably the one that was notorious and responsible as one individual for stopping Adolf Hitler and one of the greatest statesmen of the 20th century. It was Babe Ruth that struck out in the major leagues 1,300 times, but yet was recorded at that time as being one of the best American hitters in the game. Somebody said no one wins all the time, but everyone occasionally faces setbacks. It's been said that the greatest baseball player who ever lived, he lived by only touching 39.4% on time of the bases. The greatest soccer player scores only 3% of his shots. The greatest home run hitter of all times struck out more than any other player in the league. Nobody's ever expected to be triumphant all the time, but you have to understand this. You need to be able to decide that you're not going to give up when you're not triumphant. Mistakes are just a part of life. And you and I have to understand that you're going to have shortcomings. You're going to have your high days and you're going to have your low days. You're going to have the days when everything goes right, when the blessings seem to come down from heaven above. And then you're going to have days when it seems like everything that you touch turns to ashes and coal. Now, let me give you some things, if I may, please, about failure. I want to consider what failure does first. Then I want to show you how to overcome failures. Failure can cause you to think that things are final. Failure can cause you to think that things are final. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the Bible says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So understand this, that failure is not always final. When you do things that you feel as though now it's final and I might as well just throw in the towel, that's wrong thinking. Because failure is not always final. Statement number two, a failure can control you. Failure can control you. I know people that have such a down attitude, not only about themselves, but about life, that they live in a dark channel, but that dark channel is one that they painted themselves into, and you don't have to live there. Statement number three, failure can cause you to give up. Failure can cause you to give up. You know, Paul said this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Now, here's the conditional clause. If, don't miss it now, if we faint not. So Paul said, now, wait a minute. Understand this. You're going to get weary. If you'll get that in that verse, you see exactly what he's saying. He says, you're going to get weary, and you're going to get weary in well-doing. You're just not going to get weary. You're going to get weary in doing well, doing good things, if you will. He says, but don't forget this, that in due season you will reap if you faint not. Statement number four, failure can cause you to surrender to your circumstances. Failure can cause you to surrender to your circumstances. Well, you know, preacher, I've tried to lose weight for so many years, might as well just give up. You ever heard that? Well, preacher, I've tried to pass that test so many times, I can't do it anyway, so I might as well just quit. Well, preacher, I've tried to sing that particular song so many different ways and so many different times that I could never be able to do it, so therefore I'm just not going to try again. Well, my marriage is not what it ought to be, and so I tell you what, I've given it everything I've got, and I'm tired of giving, so I just think that I'm not going to give any more. Well, I've tried to discipline that one child over and over again, but I can tell you for sure they're just beyond discipline, and I just cannot help them. You ever hear people just give up? I mean, they just throw in the towel because of the circumstances that overwhelm them. Statement number four, I said, failure can cause you to surrender to your circumstances. Statement number five, failure can cause you to ignore the will of God. Failure can cause you to ignore the will of God. Now watch this. I've seen dear preacher friends, and they all of a sudden go through a hard time in their life, and because they go through a hard time in their life, they give up, they throw in the towel, they quit, and they do not even consider the will of God. Can I tell you, the will of God tonight for every single one of us that are members of Parkside Baptist Church and those that are visiting tonight, the will of God is the bottom line. The bottom line. You find out what the will of God is and do it. Here he is. Ironside said this once. He said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. So find out what the will of God is, embrace it, capture it, grasp it, then go do it. All right? So we understand that failure can cause you to ignore the will of God. You know, our Lord said this in John chapter 7 and verse 17. He said, if any man will do his will, you know, and that is, he shall know, it says, of the doctrine. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether, he says, I speak it of myself. What's he saying? He's saying, you know, don't be ignorant of the will of God. You know, failure can cause you to ignore the will of God. Failure can cause you to come short of accomplishing the will of God. Statement number 6, failure can cause you to try to accomplish things in your own strength. Failure can cause you to try to accomplish things in your own strength. Have you ever heard of somebody that's downtrodden? Have you ever heard of somebody that says, well, I tell you what, I prayed about that before and God didn't answer then. So what's the sense in praying about it again? And by the way, you have to be very careful about that. May I submit to you tonight that there is probably, even in this room, there's probably even in this room people that do not pray like they should. We get used to handling all of our problems all by ourselves. And only when we are pressed into an emergency situation do we find ourselves crying out to an almighty God. Now, can I tell you, that is not the way you're supposed to live. You are not supposed to put your selfish self before a holy God. You are supposed to not bring God down to your living. You are supposed to take God, if you will, please, and yourself to move up to His expectations. Now, you can only do that, I said, take God and yourself. Because you see, the arm of the flesh shall fail you. You can have God, if you will, please, that's going to say, I want you to do this, and you try and step out to do it in the flesh, and eventually you're going to get frustrated, and eventually you're going to get upset with yourself, and eventually you're going to get discouraged, and eventually you're going to quit. Because you cannot please God without faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we understand this. That failure, statement number 5 I said, failure can cause you to ignore the will of God. Statement number 6, I said this, that failure can cause you to try to accomplish things in your own strength. You think about the latter portion of this verse right here where the Bible says that he will rest in his love and he will joy over thee with singing. Now, where does that come? Well, where does that excitability come? Where does that fulfillment come from? I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from the person that says, I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to let Him have control. I'm going to let Him be the one that guides my life. That's where it comes from. Statement number 7. Failure can cause you not to trust others. Failure can cause you not to trust others, but to rely on your own wisdom. Failure can cause you not to trust others, but to rely on your own wisdom. Well, I tell you what, they cheated me one time, and I know that they'll treat me badly again. You know, that circumstance that I went through over there, I had a bad experience with a circumstance that I went through over there, and so now what you do is you judge every circumstance that's just like that one, like you're going to get the same outcome. And can I tell you, just because you go through circumstances that are similar doesn't mean that you're going to get the same outcome. Did you know even people change? Well, I don't want to be around that person because I know exactly what that person's like. And I hung around them before and I had a bad experience, and so therefore if I hang around them again, I'll probably have another bad experience. You don't know what God's done in their life. You know, God can change a person, can I tell you? God can, and like a month, Doesn't take a week. Doesn't take a day. I watched my dear daddy get saved, and I watched my daddy take all the liquor that he had in the house and poured it down the drain. Pause that. You see, one sermon has changed somebody's life for a lifetime. One friend has changed somebody's life for a lifetime. One statement of influence has changed many people's lives for a lifetime. I was preaching over in the Philippines. I never will forget. And there was a little girl sitting on the front row, and she sat there just like a little bitty bird looking for a worm. And boy, I preached, and there was, in the evening, 500 or so people there that night, and it looked like she was the only one that was ever listening. Looked like a little bird looking for a worm. I preached that night, and I got done, and I came down to sign Bibles, and as I came down to sign Bibles, she stood off in the distance, and as I got ready to walk away, she walked up to me, this little 17-year-old girl, and said, "Do you really believe God could use me?" I said, "I really believe God could use you." She said, "That's all I need to hear." She went to Bible college. By the way, wasn't top of her class, but she finished. Probably not the greatest missionary you'll ever meet in your life, but in the will of God. Can I tell you, that little girl that's now alone, because she had one sentence that was given to her that influenced her life for all eternity. I'm saying this tonight, in your own strength. Statement number 7, I said that failure can cause you not to trust in others but rely on your own wisdom. You know, Solomon wrote this. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding." Verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3 reads this, "And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Statement number 8, failure can cause you to compare yourself to others. Failure can cause you to compare yourself. Oh, come on, now watch. We deal with teenagers around here. We deal with singles around here. We deal with young married couples and old married couples. And we deal with children around here. And can I tell you, one of the biggest problems that I believe society is that depending on who the corporations do. Well, my church is better than your church compared to what? The best day or the worst day? Well, my wife up. Well, my husband is better than your husband compared to what? When he had a pot belly? Come on. Is prettier than your girlfriend's hair. Okay, but what dye is she wearing right now? You know, bank accounts increase and bank accounts decrease. I'm you. And by the way, isn't it something, when we're failing, we always want to find somebody. The normal person fleshly reaction is we always want to find somebody that's failing worse than we are. Well, you know, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You don't know so-and-so. Come on, isn't that the way it is? Instead of putting your eyes on the Lord Jesus, you're always putting your eyes on so-and-so. Okay? Paul said this. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of a number, comparing ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are what? Are not wise." Talk to me. Are not wise. He said, when you start doing that, you're just not a wise person. Come on. The person, watch this, here we go, you ready? The person that has poor self-esteem has to feel accepted. Stay with me. So they would do anything to feel accepted, whether it be right or wrong. How come you have a child in your family that's always trying to get the attention of everybody? Probably because they might have a little bit of trouble with feeling accepted. And so therefore they have to do things to get accepted. Hello? You ever see somebody that's got more makeup on than a barn? Might be a reason for that. I wasn't thinking of your reason, whoever laughed real loud. Failure can cause you to compare yourself to others. Statement number 9, failure can cause you to think the wrong way. See, here's what we do. We judge other people by our own little focus. Because I think this, everybody else must be thinking this too. We're very narrow in our thinking. Because I have a poor self-image of me, then everybody else must have a poor self-image of me too. Because I think I'm ugly, then everybody else must think I'm ugly too. Because I have a hard time loving others, I guess nobody loves me. Because I have a difficult time forgiving others, I guess nobody has forgiven me. Because I don't feel accepted by, then I guess I'm not accepted by those people over there as well. You know, and what we do is we judge everything through our own funnel. We judge everything through our own filter. Now, what is your filter made up of? I'm going to tell you what your filter is made up of. It is made up of the material that you yourself has allowed to make up the filter. You know, I was raised in a lost person's home. Yeah. Because I was raised in a lost person's home, do you understand tonight that I have a certain filter whereby I think it's a blessing of the Lord because I can take and talk to a lost man and know exactly where he's coming from because I came up with a lost daddy. But I've allowed that filter to help me not become a crutch to me. See, you can't get away with this thing. Well, you don't understand. I'm bitter because the way I was raised. No, I'm sorry. You're bitter because you want to be bitter. Well, I tell you what, I just don't think that people, you know, the way I see it, yeah, that's the problem. You're seeing it wrong. It might be that God wants you to see it differently than the way you're seeing. How about looking at it from God's perspective instead of your selfish perspective? You know, failure can cause you to compare yourself to others, and failure can cause you to think the wrong way. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." You know, you can even be proud that you're failing. You ever see this? I've seen this in the academy. I've seen this when I was in school. You ever see this? Here's a child that makes a low grade on their test. So instead of feeling bad about it, they flash their low grade around to all their friends saying, "See? See? I couldn't pass it either. See?" You know what? They're proud of their failure. Nobody should be proud of their failure. You know, we have people, believe it or not, I'm sure we do. I'm not checked into it. I really haven't. But possibly we have people that's in our academy or in our college or one of our educational programs here that when they get a bad grade, it becomes a boasting factor because of the fact that they want to feel, again, very insecure. All right, now wait a minute. We understand this, that failure can cause a person to think the wrong way. Statement number next. You know, failure can cause you to seek the pity of others. Failure can cause you to seek the pity of others. Solomon said this. He said, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." You ever see somebody that they're full of self-pity? Well, why don't you feel sorry for me? Because you know the home I was raised in. Well, why don't you feel sorry for me? You don't know what I went through. Well, why don't you feel sorry for me? I've got to drive through Dallas traffic. Now, by the way, if you live here, nobody's going to feel sorry for you because we all have to drive through Dallas traffic. Well, why don't you feel sorry for me? Because after all, you understand that I have ailingness in my bones. Well, why don't you feel sorry for me because my age is 17? Statement number 11. You know, failure can cause you to fear trying again. Failure can cause you to fear trying. I'm not going to go soul winning. Last time I went soul winning, last time I knocked on a door, man, I got attacked by a dog. I don't care if it was only 3 inches tall. It was still a dog. And it was a frightening experience. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8, the Bible says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Statement number 13, I need to hurry. Failure can cause you to judge others and be judged by others. Failure can cause you to judge others and be judged by others. By the way, here's a great verse right here, followed by an extremely important verse to help us to understand the first verse. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, judge not, that ye be not judged. You ever hear somebody say, well, that's not right, they're judging me. How do you prevent that? Is there a way? Kid came to me one time at camp and he said, it's not right. My parents always say, clean your room. What do I do, preacher? I said, you want them to stop it? Go clean your room. You say, well, people always judging me. It's just not fair. Well, God has an answer to that, doesn't he? It says, judge not that ye be not judged. Listen to it carefully. Watch here. It says, for with what judgment ye judge, it says, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. All right, so what's it talking about? It's not talking about the judging. It's talking about the type of judging. All right, so what type of judging am I supposed to give? Well, why don't you judge people, if you will please, the right way? Well, how do you judge somebody the right way, preacher? Well, why don't you give them space for grace? Why don't you love them? Why don't you help them? Why don't you try to be somebody that pulls them the direction whereby they can get help from God, who is the only one that can help them? All right, I'm saying this, judge not. It says that ye be not judged. Hey, here's a good one. Why don't you judge yourself and be more harsh on yourself more than the people that are your judges? Because if you do that, you will straighten up more than anybody could ever straighten you up. Amen. Statement number 14. Failure can cause you not to trust in the Lord. You know, our Lord reminds us in John chapter 15 and verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says this, for without me, ye can do nothing. He reminds us that we can't do anything without him. So failure will cause you not to trust in the Lord. Now, okay, how is it that you can overcome failure? And I'm going to scoot through these very quickly. Statement number one, focus on Bible truths. Focus on Bible truths that will help you. Focus. Now, by the way, you notice here's what I did. On every single one of these, I'm talking about you changing your focus. Because as long as you're focused on you, it won't work. Because see, you're not the important one. God is the important one. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. I love you, but in the name of the Lord, grow up and get over it. Well, somebody, you know, you just don't know what I've been through. Oh, stop it. Go spank yourself. All right? I'm saying this. You know, focus on Bible truths that will help you. Psalm 27 in verse 14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Double emphasis there. Okay, statement number nine. Statement number two. Focus on God more than your problems. Focus on God more than your problems. Stop walking around complaining. Focus on God more than your problems. By the way, God is bigger than your problems. God's got the answers to help you to overcome your problems. Stop walking under the circumstances. Learn to walk over the circumstances with God's help. Psalm 31, verse 24, the Bible says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, says all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Where does he strengthen your heart? He strengthens your heart because your hope is in him. Amen. Your hope is not in others. Your hope is in Him. All right, statement number three. Focus on serving Christ. By the way, listen to me. You were placed on this earth for the sole purpose of one thing. That's obeying your God. Everything else is encompasses around your obedience to God. That's it. Well, I'm just going to live my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, you do it without blessing. Well, I'm going to do what He wants me to do. Guess what? You do it and get blessing. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Statement number 4, focus on obeying God in all the areas that you know. Focus on obeying God in all the areas that you know. And here's a great verse over in John chapter 13 and verse 17. The Bible says, if ye know these things, I love this, happy are ye if you do them. Doesn't the Bible say to whom much is given, much is required? Okay, now watch this. Stay with me now. There are different people of growth in this room tonight. Did you know that? Some of you have been saved for 40 years and you've grown at the rate of a 2-year-old. Some of you have been saved for 2 years and you've grown at the rate of a 20-year-old. In Christ, I'm talking about. All right, people grow differently by the way that they're fed, by what they focus on, by the way that they allow circumstances to control them, you know, by the relationship that they have with God. They grow different ways. You know, why is it that some Christians has been saved a long time can go through a earth-shaking experience and it doesn't shake them? Because they're rooted in Christ so deeply that it doesn't shake them. Why is it that some Christians would go through things that are very shallow and before you know it, their whole world crumbles and they're broken in pieces? Because it shows the depth of their root in Christ. Okay, now wait a minute. So focus on obeying God in all areas that you know. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Statement number 5, focus on asking God for help. Stay with the thought, to help others succeed. See, again, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. I said focus on asking God to help you to help others succeed. It's not, well, you don't understand all that I'm going through. Yeah, probably, however, if you'd be reading your Bible like you should and you'd be walking with God like you should, you would not be complaining like you are. See, if I could just get our church members to read their Bible, their problems would probably diminish to few, if any. But it's all depicted in how you walk with God. You know, I'm saying this tonight, focus on asking God to help you to help others succeed. You know, here Job is, you know, the Bible says that Job turned the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Wait a minute, captivity, problems, disparity, agony. Well, how is it that he turned the captivity? By the way, what's holding you captive tonight? Is there a way that God could free you from your captivity? Here it is. What did Job do? The Bible says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he did what? When he prayed for his friends. You mean those friends that antagonized him? You mean those friends that were riding his case? You mean those friends that didn't believe in him? You mean those friends that thought that he was backslidden? You mean those friends that tried to discourage him? Yeah, that's who you ought to pray for. He says, also, it says, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's double blessing. Statement number 6, focus on being around people that believe in God. I didn't say that believe in you. You know, we have this humanistic philosophy out there today. Somebody needs to believe in me. You know, somebody needs to believe in my rights, and somebody needs to believe in my desire. And so, wait a minute. Whoa. Don't forget now, you weren't created for you. Amen. You were created for Him. You see all these people walking around with placards. My rights. Somebody ought to walk around with a placard saying, God's rights. Because He created you. Okay? Here we go. So focus, if you will, on being around people that believe in God. By the way, who you hang around will influence your belief. You hang around somebody that's always negative, pessimistic, sky is falling, storms brewing, world's going to collapse, World War III is going to begin. By the way, can I help you out a little bit? Some of you ought never to listen to the news. Now, I'm just being honest with you. You say, why, preacher? Because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. By the way, I know that tonight is the presidential debate. That's why after I get done teaching this lesson, I've got three more. I'm saying this. You know, focus on being around people that believe in God. James chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of what? Talk to me, wake yourself up. The prayer of what? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. All right? So focus on being around people that believe in God. Come on. Man, what a sad thing to have a bus captain that doesn't believe in God. What a sad thing to have a bus worker that doesn't believe. What a sad thing to have a parent that doesn't believe in God, that God can. What a sad thing. All right, statement number 7. Focus on helping others meet their needs. Focus on helping others meet their needs. Luke chapter 10, verse 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, the Bible says, came where he was. This is the man that was robbed, left for dead. The Bible says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Don't forget, there was a Levi that also went by. Don't forget, there was a rabbi that also went by. And here is this Samaritan, just a good-natured fella, probably didn't know as much Bible as those others two did, but he stopped by and he said, hey, let me help you with your need. All right, so focus on helping others meet their needs. By the way, can I tell you, one of the neatest things in all the world is to help somebody make it through a difficult time. You know, I'm going to tell you why. Because it takes your focus off of you and puts your focus on them. Statement number last, here it is. Statement number 8, focus on always getting back up. Now, by the way, you're going to get knocked down. Now, I love you. I know you think that you're super Christian tonight. I know you got your big S on your chest or on your purse. But somebody one day is going to bust your bubble. Thank you for the sound effects. Someday somebody's going to crush you. Someday somebody's going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Get back up. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. It says, a just man falleth, how many times? 7 times. What's he do though? And riseth, the Bible says, up again. So just rise up again. Just keep going. Look, don't let anybody, I'm going to give it to you, just helping you a little bit. Don't let anybody crush your spirit. Look where you have come from since you received Jesus Christ. Look how good God's been to you. Some of you got precious children. That's a gift from God. Some of you have friends. That's a gift from God. You have a good church. Be able to come and learn the Bible, that's a gift from God. Instead of walking around all poochy lip, bottom lip, sagging down between the two big toes and tripping every other step, why don't you decide to get with God and let God help you overcome your failures? Father, we thank you for tonight.